79. Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
We're excited about what God is doing in this church. There's a lot of things taking place. God's doing a lot of new things, and I'm going to tell you, you know, you got to get ready for this ride. But you that's ready for what God's going to do, God's getting ready to do some powerful things in our life. Say amen. 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Let's go there quickly. Thank you. Of course, you know, we started a series on last week entitled Seeking the Will of God. Look at somebody say, I'm seeking the will of God. Say that again. I'm seeking the will of God. And one thing that I told you on last week is that before you were born, before you ever came on the earth, God had already had a plan for your life. Say amen. Amen. And the plan that God had for your life is not what you wanted. It's not what you want to do. And I want you to see that, because a lot of times we make a lot of plans for our life and we don't listen to the Holy Ghost. And we don't ask God what to do. But God had a plan that was preordained for your life before you ever came out of your mother's womb, while you were not even a heartbeat. Praise God. God had already, according to Psalm 134, God had already written out his plan and his purpose for your life. And I let you know that because the plan of God has already been written out for your life, lay hands on yourself, say, I'm not a mistake. Amen. You cannot be a mistake. I don't care how you got here. I don't care under what circumstances. I don't care what took place in your life. If God mapped out your life before you got here, guess what? It is impossible for you to be a mistake, because you got here even though your mama and daddy didn't know you in time. God already knew you in eternity. Say amen. God told Jeremiah, before you came out the belly, I knew you. Say amen. Amen. Well, a lot of times when you begin to teach on seeking the will of God and pursuing the will of God and going after God, people begin to have a lot of questions. They begin to wonder, oh my goodness, this man is talking about being in the will of God, and I'm not sure if I'm in the will of God. And I know that, because when I ask you if you're not sure, if you're not in his will, raise your hand. And I want you to say, I want to say this to you. I don't want you to feel bad about that, but I do want you to know that can you imagine how much more you could have done and how farther along you could be if you knew you were doing exactly what God told you to do. So a lot of times when you begin to teach on the will of God and pursuing the will of God and seeking after the will of God, the first thing you begin to ask yourself is, how much time have I wasted? How much time have I wasted just doing what I want to do, going to school because that's what my daddy told me to do? My mama told me to make sure I have a job. There are a lot of things that people have taught you and told you to do from a child that you just did and you never sought God. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your what? But in all your ways, do what? And get us what he's going to do. He's going to direct your path. So a lot of times you begin to ask those questions. How much time have I wasted? You begin to ask yourself, is it too late now? I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70 years old. Is it too late for me to fulfill the will of God for my life? I mean, I'm behind schedule. Is it too late now? Or sometimes you begin to say, my God, I married the wrong man. I know he ain't a man of God. I'm stuck in this bad situation. What do I do if I made a decision and married somebody in my flesh? Am I stuck with them now? These are legitimate questions. There's a question that you begin to ask yourself. Where would I be had I followed God from the beginning? Had I had a mama, had I had a daddy, had I had a grandmama who taught me the ways of God and showed me how to seek him, do you know how much farther along I could be? So the enemy, if you don't be careful, he'll beat you down with them questions. He'll beat you down and make you feel like it's too late for you. But I want you to look at somebody and say, neighbor, you still got time. Yeah, that's part two of this series, Seeking the Will of God. Look at somebody else down your row and say, you still have time. Look at your whole row and say, you got time to get it right. You got time. Amen. Still got time. I don't care. I don't care if you 200. Amen. If you die next year, you got 1 year to fulfill the will of God. Say amen. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. When you look at this text in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, this is after God has anointed Saul to be king. I want to show you something real profound. I taught something for years, and I guess I was kind of wrong. But God chose Saul. God chose him. For a long time, I used to say the people chose Saul, and I used to say that because God didn't want them to have a king. God wanted to be their king, and the people asked for a king, and God gave it to them, and I always said that the people chose him. But in actuality, when you look at the whole process that God went through to choose Saul, God chose him. God brought all the 12 tribes of Israel, brought them together, and then he got the heads of it. Then he got Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin, and then he found him a man named Saul. And God chose a man named Saul. After he looking for a man to be king over Israel, he chooses a man that when he finds Saul, he's hiding in a basket. My Lord. You would never think that God would choose a man hiding to be the king. And God's getting ready to choose this man, and God has anointed Samuel to go anoint Saul to be the king. And the Bible declares that after he anoints Saul to be the king, Samuel tells Saul, I want you to wait for 7 days. And I'm going to show up so that I can offer a sacrifice. But the Bible declares that Samuel did not show up in 7 days. And because Samuel took too long to show up, the Bible declares that Saul went ahead and offered up a sacrifice by himself. And as soon as Saul got done offering the sacrifice, guess what happened? Samuel shows up. And you know that it was wrong that if you were not a priest to offer the sacrifice, and even if you were a priest, if you didn't do it right, you got in trouble. We see that with Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's boys in Leviticus chapter 10, who offered up a strange fire, and the Bible declares because they didn't do it right, God consumed them. Saul was not supposed to offer up that sacrifice, did it anyway. Samuel shows up and said, hey, why you did that? And look at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 13. Verse 9, Saul said, bring hither burnt offering to me, peace offerings, and he offered the burnt offering. Verse 10, and it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Pay attention. And Samuel said, why did you do that? Saul said, I saw the people was scattered. The reason I did it is because I was looking at the people. I miss God because I was looking at the people. And that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Verse 12, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. Guess what he did? I forced myself. I knew better. And this is Sam. This is Saul saying, I knew I was not supposed to do what I did, but I allowed my circumstance to cause me to compromise. I need to talk to y'all for a minute. I'm going somewhere. What I want you to see is in your life, if there are certain situations that can cause you to compromise, there's a character flaw in your life. There ought to be certain rules that you don't cross. Y'all got quiet on me. There ought to be certain things that no matter how much money they put on the table, you can't be bought. There ought to be certain standards in your life that no matter what somebody say, what somebody try to do, you don't allow anybody to cause you to get out of character. But the Bible says what happened with Saul is Saul got forced by the people. You got to learn how to have certain standards in your life. One standard that I made that people always talk to me about, and they say, I just say this because I'm a preacher, but I said this morning and I meant it. There are certain standards that I have under no circumstance, things that I don't participate in. One thing that I will never participate in is killing a preacher. Amen. You know why? Because I'm a preacher. There are certain things that I've always made sure I do right. One thing I want to teach you all. When you understand a biblical principle, when you see something that's right in the Word of God, this is another principle that I've set for my life. That I don't care what I believe. I don't care what I think. I don't care what I feel. If someone shows me through proper exegesis of the scripture and they show me that I'm wrong, even if I think I heard God, I submit what I heard to the Word of God. Now, that's not what some of us do. We live in a time now where people do what they want to do. Now, here at KCC, you know, I believe in due order. I believe God is head of Christ. Christ is head of the man. Man is head of the woman. Woman is over her children. That's what I believe. I don't believe that because that's what I teach. I teach that because that's what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, for the head of the man is the woman. It says the head of the man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. Now, if I could show you that in the Word of God and you leave out of here time or something, well, my husband ain't my head. God is my head. You have a mental problem because I showed you in the Word of God that what you're saying is wrong. Say amen. You got to get to a place where you have standards that I don't care. You don't sit back and say, I don't care what the word say. I know what God told me. That's dangerous. If you can get to a place where you say, I don't care what the Bible say. I know what God told me. Me and God got our own relationship. The Lord told me, he told me there's a sin that you commit, that you can commit, that the only way you know you committed the sin is I tell you, you committed it. There's a sin, there's an evil, there's a lie that can be told to you that the only way you know it's a lie is God revealed to you that it is a lie. The Bible declares that because you won't receive the love of the truth, God will send upon you a strong what? Delusion to cause you to believe a lie. That's dangerous. God said, when you don't want truth, guess what I do? I give you a lie. Now that's powerful. That's powerful to make it my business to make sure that I get the right understanding of the word. There's another thing that I understand about biblical order and biblical principle. First thing I want to say, let me kill this devil and let me make it very clear. How many of y'all know Prophet Khan is not the only person that God talked to? Wave at me if you believe that. Come on. All right, put your hand down. How many of y'all know I ain't the only one that God talked to? You believe that? Come on. I mean, God talked to me, but I ain't the only one he talked to. All right? Let me go deeper. How many of you know God can talk to you? Come on. I'm going somewhere now. How many of y'all know you can hear God? God can talk to you. You can get a word from the Lord. God spoke to me. Yes! You can hear God. But the minute you submit yourself, to the anointing of my life, what you heard come subject to what I say. Amen. Devil is a lie. That's what the Bible say. Amen. How you figure that, Prophet Khan? Do you remember a man, a little boy in the Bible named Samuel? You remember him? Yeah. Y'all remember Samuel, don't you? And remember Samuel when he first heard God, the first person he went to was his pastor. Who was his pastor? Eli. He heard a voice calling him in his house. Didn't he hear a voice? He didn't hear that voice and do what he wanted to do. Soon as he heard the voice, he went to the pastor. And guess what you're supposed to do? When you hear from God, you go to your pastor. You don't make your own decision. You don't come to me and tell me. You don't come to me and tell me what you're going to do. Because you think you heard God. You're out of order. Samuel went to Eli, said, hey, Eli, I hear something. Are you calling me?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Guess what Eli said? Go back. Yes. Now, the only reason Samuel kept hearing the voice of God is he kept following instructions. Yeah.
Yes.
What was the instruction? Go back. I heard God. I don't care. Go sit down. He waited to get the blessing. And guess what? His pastor had to tell him it was God. Amen. Now, I want to say something. So there are certain principles that I have. I'm Prophet Karn. God talked to me. I don't doubt God talked to me. I know God talked to me. I got a boldness and a confidence. I know I hear the voice of God. Lord be telling me something. It be good. And if God tell me to do something about this church, I got a pastor who I respect. I don't care what God says to me. If I go to my pastor and my pastor say, do it this way, no matter what I heard, because I submitted myself to my pastor, I'm not going to go against who I submitted to. Why? Now, that's a law that I've set up, and I'm not going to let nobody cause me to compromise that. You know what? Let me go deeper. I believe God showed you. Whatever you say God showed you, I believe you ain't lying. He showed it to you. Yeah, he sure did. But do you know that Samuel did not say what God showed him until Eli came and asked him? You folk that say you intercessors and do a lot of talking, you's a liar. Because intercessors got to be able to keep stuff. Say amen, church. You can't be no intercessor and you always in mess. Always time out folk and bothering folk and time, did you hear this and hear that? Intercessors don't do that. Intercessors see a problem and say, you know what, let me take this and go into intercession about this thing. There are certain lines that you don't cross. If God should speak to anybody in this church, I know he does. God may speak to somebody in this church. He may say to you, your season is up. Y'all ain't everybody ain't supposed to be here forever. Some of you only here for a season. Some of you here for a reason. Some of you here for no reason at all. I don't know what you're here for. Some of y'all got all kind of reasons for being here. You know how many folk tell them they done heard God tell them do something and they hearing God was because they got offended by something?
There you go.
Now, you'd be amazed. God, nah, they were doing fine until somebody made them mad. And as soon as somebody, you know what, that's just my confirmation. Time for me to get out of here. That was God. Come on, y'all. Ain't that what we do? But you got to learn that God makes you in the fire. He perfects you when you're in that place you don't want to be in. Am I making sense? When you got a man of God, a woman of God who hears from the Lord, God talks to them, God gives them instruction, you got to trust their ear past your feeling.
Yeah.
You got to be able to sit on your prophecy. Your sitting may be a sit for 5 years. I'm testing your obedience. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me, help me, help me, help me. Can I keep going? So the Bible declares that he let the people force him to do something he wasn't supposed to do. He didn't have no standard. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, you've done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now will the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Now look, God chose Saul, didn't he? Hello? God chose Saul, didn't he?
Yes.
Hello? God chose Saul, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay. And guess what God told Saul? Saul, had you not compromised, the kingdom would have been yours forever. But because you disobeyed, and because you did not do what was right. I want to go somewhere. I'm doing this to bring you to a certain point. Because you didn't, verse 14. But now the kingdom shall not continue. Because the Lord have sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord have commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now this is what I want you to see. Saul
is supposed to be king.
Right.
Not just for 2 years. He's supposed to be king forever.
Yeah.
Not just him, but his children. In the next chapter, in the 14th chapter, there's some Philistines and a man named Jonathan. Who is Jonathan? Saul's son. Crawls, does everything he can, crawls to go kill them Philistines. In the 17th chapter, David gets ready to fight against Goliath. He don't have no armor. Y'all got to see this. Guess who gives him his armor? No. He couldn't wear Saul's armor. Guess who gave him the armor? Jonathan. Y'all about to miss this. Jonathan was the one who was supposed to be king. Yet he gave his armor to his replacement. What humility to help the person who you know is supposed to replace you. He could have been bitter with David. He could have said, David got my spot. My daddy disobeyed, and now David is in my place. But Jonathan was not concerned about a person. He was wrapped up in purpose.
Yes, sir.
And some of y'all get so caught up in what you want to do that you're not mature enough to say, even if God don't use me, as long as the will of God is done, that's all that matters. That takes maturity. Ain't about me. Ain't about me. I love to be your pastor. I love to get you where you're supposed to be. I believe I'm assigned to you. But guess what? If another pastor can do you better than I do you, if I'm so caught up in you being here with me, I am glorying in myself. I can't control you. You won't go find you another pastor? Gone! I mean that. I'm serious about that. I cannot be so caught up in what I'm going to do that I'm not saying, you know what? It don't matter if it's me. As long as God get the glory out of your life.
You
through me, through somebody else. As long as God gets the glory out of your life.
Yeah.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
But it takes maturity to get to that point. Saul was not temporary. God chose Saul. And David, what I'm trying to tell y'all is because you ask a question, and I told you begin to ask questions when you begin to seek God and you begin to wonder, is it too late? What I'm trying to show you is David was not God's first choice. David was the second choice, but the second choice still did well. And the point I'm trying to make to you is you may have made some dumb decisions in your life over the last 20 to 30 years. So what? What matters is the decisions you make from now on. And if you make the right decision from this day forward, slap three people and say your life will never be the same. Now watch this. Saul reigned, I'm going somewhere, for 40 years.
That's good.
40 years. David, watch this, became king when David was 30 years old.
What you mean, Prophet Khan? I'm finna say something now. Which means that when God spoke the word to Saul to tell Saul that he had raised up a replacement, it was 8 years before David was ever born.
You would think the man was born. David wasn't even born when Saul got that word. God said, I've already got your replacement. Am I making sense?
Can I help you?
God's plan B is better than the devil's plan A.
Yes, sir.
Even if I get the plan B, it's better than the devil's plan A. Say amen. Am I making sense? God didn't want them. See, a lot of you got to get your understanding right. Even me. We thank everything God. God, if God wanted it to change, I wouldn't be in this place, you know. Go run in front of a semi-truck. And tell me something, if God wanted me to live, he'll let the truck stop. I promise you, you're going to die. Because God is sovereign. But even though he's sovereign, he still gives you opportunities to make a choice. And it's very clear if you read your Bible that God did not want the children of Israel to be in the wilderness for 40 years. That was not what God wanted, but because of their disobedience. And it was very clear that God did not want them to go into the promised land with Joshua. He wanted them to go in with Moses. But Moses got mad when God told him, speak to the rock. What did he do? He smote the rock, and God said, all right, David, because of what you did, I'm going to raise up somebody else named Joshua, and they going into the promised land. I'm telling you that the will of God can be mapped out for your life, and your disobedience can cause you to miss it. And stop thinking that everything that happens in your life is God. You got to learn how to take responsibility.
Right.
Lay hands on yourself. Say, I made some bad decisions, but I'm making it right now. I don't want you to let the devil make you feel like it's too late, because it ain't too late. I don't care how messed up your life is. I don't care what dumb decisions you made. Do you know today your life can change? Say amen.
Amen.
And it's changing today. But you got to take responsibility and say, you know what? I done made some bad decisions. I done did some stuff that I ain't have no business doing. But guess what? I got to get in the right place. Say amen.
Amen.
2 Samuel chapter 11. Quickly.
Thank you for listening to the prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Carn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m. at 1600 Clanton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433 or 1-855-984-2276. Visit us at kccharlotte.org, kccjex.org, or briancarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace. We're excited about your future.
The ultimate gospel experience, W300CU Jacksonville and WKSL HD3 Neptune Beach. The new Praise 107.9.
Just tuned in to the Victory 360 broadcast here at Praise 107.9. My name is Prophetess Tanya Hall, and I'm excited for you to join in. Listen, whoever's born of God is an overcomer, and this is the victory, even our faith. Expect to experience victory in every area of your life. Victory 360.
When there is no reason to smile.
Ready? Thank you for tuning in to the Victory 360 broadcast. Listen, I would love to see you in one of our services. We're at Victory Way Christian Center, 4058 St. Augustine Road, here on the south side of Jacksonville, Florida. You can find me on social media, Facebook, Tanya S. Hall, and Twitter and Instagram at P. Tanya Hall. Join us again next week, same time, same praise.
That was awesome.
You got it. I'm gonna just try it. Hi, my name is Prophetess Tanya Hall, and I invite you to tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. for my Victory 360 broadcast here on Praise 107.9. God has given me a tailor-made word that is customized for your victory. This broadcast is Victory 360 because I believe you should experience victory in every area of your life. Tune in, Victory 360.
Wow, that was perfect. Drop the mic.
Yeah. There you go. Today's title is Faith Over Fear. Faith over fear. God is breeding and bringing a turnaround and a shifting in our atmosphere, in our environment, in our church, in our families, in the lives of individuals. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said to me, some of you have gone through the journey your last season and even ending a journey of this season, because God used the journey to get you to a place that he destined for you to be. Every pathway is not a pathway of flowers and roses and grass. There are some pathways that are rocky and muddy. There's some pathways that are dark tunnels. There are some pathways that the devil will do everything to diminish the expectation. But remember, even before becoming a butterfly, he's a worm, then he's in a cocoon. And then he catches wings and takes on his elegance. Perhaps even today, some of you in the trial that you're in is going to breathe the most wonderful, fabulous life that you could experience. And oftentimes, we are deprived of energy and we are drained because we are trying so hard to do something that God has already done. We are trying to be so much that God has already established your identity. That we don't understand the role that we play in this Christian walk. It's not so much about trying and aspiring to be more than it is about your faith system. It's about you believing God. Sometimes the challenge would try to diminish and abort what God is trying to establish in your life because you're looking at the trial and not focusing on God. When God told you to step out into something, he expected you to obey him and believe him. Not worry about how deep the waters was, how many gators were in the water. Not worry about whether you could swim or not. The responsibility you've been given as a believer is to believe God and to fortify your faith. It is my responsibility in this season to make sure that those that I'm teaching and preaching to have your faith fortified, to understand that God's plan for you is victory, that God's love for you does not dissipate, that no matter what trials or strivings that you're in or challenges that you are going through, that God has navigated a system, and if you follow that system, that you will experience victory every time. When you understand that, you begin to praise him even when you're in the lion's den. When you understand that you have peace when you're in the midst of things that are tumultuous going on in your lives. We must continue our series on Only Believe because it is a faith builder for so many of us. In this season, I want you to know that God is shifting you. Your transitions will prove great transformations. I said your transitions will prove great transformations. God is making something out of you in this trial. Life is a journey, and we must understand that we are sojourners. What does that mean? We are passing through something. And sometimes I don't like the view in my pass through. Sometimes I don't like the roads that he's taking me through. Sometimes the bridge seems so long that he's bringing me over. But God alone understands that the final outcome for me is victory. That means that if you're in something right now, I don't care what your struggle or your trial is or your fault or your failure. If you have not experienced victory, then this battle is not over. If you have not experienced victory, then watch this. This is not the last page on this book. If you have not experienced victory, watch this. Then it is not over for you. And the finality for the believer is the victory every time. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what I shall be, but when he appears, I shall be like him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in all the world. But God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory, if God then be for me. I must have courage Today I'm speaking upon you that the anointing of courage will take you over. We have been given this manual of the Bible, this navigational system that is navigating and is programmed for victory. I say the Bible is programmed for victory. If you never plug in your navigational system and use the tools that you have, then you will live a victorious life defeated. Life's daily challenges and troubles very commonly lead to feelings of worry and doubt and depression and anxiety. The Bible has provided effective tools for avoiding worries as well as responding to the emotions when they occur. What am I saying? Many of us are going through a journey, and throughout this journey, we are battling mixed emotions. And the enemy oftentimes tries to attach our emotions to our belief systems, where we are so overwhelmed it can change the order of the way you believe. Remember, I said to you last week, be aware of the facts, but stand on the word of God. It may be a fact in the natural that this is going on, but the word of God says he's going to bring me out every time. It was a fact that the fire would burn Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but the Bible tells me a fourth man will show up in the fire. It means that the facts does not trump what God has said over my life. I'm going to choose to believe him despite the odds. And if all the odds are set against me and all the doctors in the courtroom and the lawyers have spoken against my victory, what I am standing on is so sure. It will overtrump degrees. It will overtrump stands. It will overtrump statuses and facts. The word of God is true for the believer and it has guaranteed me the victory. No, you thought I said that you might experience it. I said the Bible is a guarantee of my victory. No, you thought I said that perhaps God is going to do it, but the Bible is a guarantee of my victory. What am I sure of? I may have a black eye and a bruised lip, but I am guaranteed to come out victorious every time. I dare somebody to shout, I'm coming out of this. I want you to know today that God has downloaded something in my spirit that I can explode within this place, because many of you are going to come up from places of anxiety and fear and panic attacks where the enemy has used your outer circumstance to determine your inner power. But there's a greater person on the inside of you called the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will give you power to sustain, to maintain, to overrule, to soar beyond. That means that storms may be coming, but the storm is not going to defeat you. It's not going to negate or change the decision. The decision means I still have the victory. I got a power, a divine influence, a divine enablement that no matter what the circumstance or the situation is, I am guaranteed with this power to come out on top. God loves me enough to trust me in the fire. Somebody's coming out today. I know you thought I was really playing with you. I said somebody is coming out today. No, somebody has been trapped in your mind and your faith has been paralyzed, because anxiety is a paralyzer of faith. It detonates the power that's in you to believe God, because it has you anticipating evil. So your expectation is not a good outcome, but God is getting ready to rearrange some mindsets today. God is getting ready to alter some things in some places that people are, that are in a storm today. You're going to understand you're in a storm without an umbrella, but it cannot take you over. It cannot come nigh your dwelling. It cannot upset or overturn. I will believe God standing in the fire. I will believe him when things are over my head. I will believe him when I'm backed up against mountains and there is nowhere for me to go. When the Red Sea is in front of me and the Egyptians and the Pharaoh's army are behind me, I will stand still and see the salvation of God. Today you're going to take a position and make a decision. I choose to believe God. It doesn't mean I'm not trial. It doesn't mean I'm not challenged. It means I'm going to believe him. The purpose of this lesson is to empower you to believe him. The purpose of this lesson is to say to you that life is a journey and you're going to go through some stuff. I cannot promise you that you are not going to cry. I cannot promise you that you are not going to experience disappointment. I cannot assure you that at times you won't be hurt or bruised. I can't assure you at times that you won't be shipwrecked. But I can tell you this, that if God planned and orchestrated and allowed the shipwreck, if he allowed the fire, if he allowed the accident or the incident, he also had an attachment plan. It was a salvation plan to bring you out of whatever you're in. I dare a shout out in this place, I'm coming out of this. 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 I said this on last week, and I must say it this week. Fear, again, is false evidence appearing real. I said fear is false, 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 false evidence appearing real. A painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil. Fear is the apprehension of impending danger. Watch that now. Apprehension means, it means that you start to take hold of the impending danger around you. Fear expresses, watch this, the apprehension like dread. Dread leads to terror and to fright. The force of this passion, watch this, is the most moderate degree, but fear is expressed in anxiousness, in panic, in terror, in fright, and it's accompanied with a desire to avoid, or ward off, or to hide in a cage. It is an ensnarer. It is a trap. It is an